It's good to see everybody out this morning. Always great to come together, be with brother and sister in Christ, and study as we have the opportunity to do so. I hope everybody's doing well. Hope that all has already been encouraged. We've gone throughout this much of our worship already. Often when we have visitors, I'll make mention. I know I don't say it before all my lessons, but I try to make mention, especially if I see there are visitors among us, to point out that if there's ever any questions about the lesson, and if you feel that anything has been taught unscripturally, that you come to me and let me know, that we can study the point, and if I am wrong, that I am able to correct it, to make sure that we are teaching the truth, that I am teaching the truth, and of course that I am following the truth, following the Word of God. Of course, as I brought out, I don't always say that. Don't necessarily say that when we don't have visitors. To just the point that I'm hoping that my brother and sister in Christ know that they can always approach me. And you can always come to me anytime that you feel that I've misspoken, or even whether it's a scriptural or unscriptural. I think I get more of the unscriptural ones sometimes. I know my grammar, my spelling, and even as I was pointed out this morning that I have a AM instead of PM on our Wednesday night part. And it's fine. And it's something that needs corrected. And unless someone points some of those things out, I won't correct it. So, and it's probably been that way for a while because I don't go in there and change that unless I accidentally delete it. I just go and change the names. And so it's probably been on AM for a while. But on that note, many may not approach somebody because they don't feel that they are approachable. That's what I want to talk about this morning is, are you approachable? Whether we're talking scriptural or coming and talking just out of concern or anything, but especially when it comes to scriptures, especially when it comes to our faith, are we approachable? Do some people sometimes not approach somebody simply because we're too afraid of what will happen when we confront somebody? In today's time, it's very much that is the case. I know it. We had a young people's get-together Friday night, and, that was one of the things they were asking and kind of bringing out, which is so many things going on in the world. And you got homosexuality, you got transgenderness, and this and that. Of a question just to the point, how do you approach it? How do you talk to somebody, especially if they identify in a different sex, and do we try to, how? Because we're too scared of how bad of a reaction things are going to be. And we don't know how to approach certain things, and sometimes we don't think it's approachable. Amongst our brothers and sisters in Christ, we should be approachable. We should be able, people should be able to come to us with questions, to help themselves, questions that help you, or if it's in rebuking, or if it's in teaching, we should be approachable. And that's what I want to point out as we open up our Bibles and see that the Word of God commands us to look out for one another. The Word of God tells us that we are to have a part in each other's life, that we are to bear one another's burdens. I mean, we're supposed to be able to approach each other to the point that we can confess our trespasses to each other in James. James there in chapter 5, it tells us that we're to confess our trespasses to one another. But usually, you have those people who you really trust and you feel like you can go to and you can talk to. We extend that invitation at the end of every lesson, that any who needs the prayers of the congregation or just want to come and let it be known what you're struggling about, and we can pray, not necessarily that you have sinned, but you just are asking for prayers. You're asking for someone to check in on you once a week or every now and then, twice a week, or to have a Bible study. Come forward. Let us know. How often is it that we feel that we can approach somebody when we feel that they've done wrong? And we feel like and you may be wrong, but you have to say something. You have to ask that question. You have to get the truth. And you can't get the truth unless you approach them. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17 tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So this is God's words that we're reading here. And why He has given it to us, it says, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. It says the Word of God is there. And it has got everything we need in order to teach, in order for reproof, in order to correct, in order to instruct. The question is are we approachable enough for someone to come and teach us? Are we approachable enough that someone's willing to come and correct you? That they feel that they can come to you, that they can rebuke you, that they can come and show you what the Word of God says, without fear that it's going to blow out of proportion, without fear that it's going to cause them to start pointing fingers at you? Are we approachable? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, just going over the next chapter, chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching." I understand, if it comes to sin, whether or not someone's approachable or not, we need to be willing to take that step and go forward, knowing it might not go well. But if we truly believe someone is in sin, we have an obligation as a Christian, as a follower of God, to let it be known. To go to our brother who has sinned against us and tell him their fault. Or if we see them in sin, because out of love for them and out of zeal to serve God, we need to go and tell. Just as we read here in 2 Timothy 4:2, he is told here to preach the word. Whether it's in season and out of season, whether it's a time in which, you know, this isn't a good time, so I'm not going to bring it up right now. Well, if it's sin, when isn't it a good time to bring it up? When isn't it a good time? If it's a concern that maybe they haven't sinned yet, but you can just see the backsliding and that they are starting to fade away, when isn't it a good time to bring that up? Well, we say it's not a good time because, you know, it might blow up. Because, you know, they got some things going on in their life. Because I got some of my own things that I need to take care of before I go and tell them. Now, if it's about sin, yes, we have the verse. We got the example that if we go and see a speck in our brother's eye, to make sure you remove the plank from your eye so that you can see well enough. But it still doesn't tell you not to approach that person at all. We have to be willing to, yes, take care of ourselves. Make sure we've removed our sin. But we are to approach our brethren, to come and convince them of the truth. To rebuke them if necessary. To exhort them, to encourage them to continue to fight the good fight. To encourage them when they've done good. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and in verse 15. Titus 2 and verse 15 says, "Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." Again, whether we're exhorting or rebuking, this is, again, with all authority. So make sure we're going back to the Scriptures, to the Word of God. As we do it, this is the way I feel. This is the way I see things. And again, sometimes it is just a matter of, this is the way I see it, this is the way I can't get to where you are. So can you help explain it to me so that I don't feel so bad when I see the situation? Sometimes I don't feel like we can talk things out. We get caught up and worrying about how bad out of proportion it's going to get exploded. We get worried that if we do this, then there's going to be lines drawn and there's going to be division. Going up to verse 14, as we just read verse 15. Verse 14 says, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." In the very next spot, "Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no one despise you." We are zealous for good works. Good works. Again, it's not the good work of going and proving someone wrong. That's not what we're doing. It's not the good work of, man, I beat them down. It's a good work to the point that we love one another. We are concerned for one another. We cherish one another. We are zealous for God. We're zealous
for his work. Therefore, we are jealous as God is. God is jealous when we sin, and we're jealous when our brothers and sisters in Christ may bear off. And so we are willing to go forth and talk with them, to confront them. And I understand we have to make sure we have the right attitude when we go and confront somebody. And make sure we take the step aside. You know, we went through class this morning, and as we was looking at Samuel, what Samuel had said to the children of Israel, that's, I think, a big part of what we have to do when we approach our brethren. We prepare our hearts. Prepare your hearts. Pray to God over the situation. Make sure you study the topic of whatever is about to be talked about. Make sure that you're ready to go in it patiently, with self-control, with love. We have to make sure. But the question I have to ask is, are we approachable? What kind of attitude do we have when someone confronts us? No. Is it always fun when someone confronts you, though? That's the thing, it's not. It's not fun to be told that you are wrong, that you've made a mistake, that someone believes, and our guard comes up. Our initial reaction may be, who are you to approach me? Our attitude of immediately maybe trying to find something to point at them that they are doing wrong, instead of maybe taking a step back and looking and saying, maybe I have done something wrong. Or maybe you fully believe you haven't done anything wrong, but you're willing to actually calmly talk it out. How do we handle when somebody confronts us? In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 5, you keep your Bibles marked over here in Proverbs. Our next lesson is here in Proverbs. In Proverbs 27 and in verse 5, it says, Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Open rebuke. It says, better is the open rebuke than the love that is carefully concealed. For someone to come and tell you you've messed up, someone to come and tell you that they think that you've messed up, come and tell you, hey, if you don't be careful, this is the path that you're going down. You're going down a slippery slope. Man, it's hard to sit here and say that's better than love conceived. That's the attitude some people have. Again, my mind always goes back to after a gospel meeting. It was a meeting that the congregation I was at that had when I was in Tennessee. And someone approached the guest speaker and said, well, you know, I just think that we need to let the homosexuals just do what they want because they're happy. I don't think they're right. I don't think it's okay. But we should just let them be. If we truly love somebody, we truly care for somebody, we're truly actually concerned for their happiness, how happy is a place of torment for the rest of eternity? Because that's the path that sin leads us down to. So how can we sit on the sideline and be silent? Again, that next verse, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. If we are truly friends and we truly love one another, we won't be willing to speak up. It's when we get our most honest answers, those who are willing to tell us our faults. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 8. It says, do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So again, as we look at it, as it brings out, what kind of person are we? Do we strive to be wise? Because if so, that means we have to be rebuked. We have to be instructed. We have to be willing to learn. Maybe we get caught up. Well, I'm at an age that I've learned a lot. Again, we go to Timothy and Titus and see that Paul is instructing young men to stand up and speak against even the older. Do not let them despise your youth. We have to be willing to stand for what is right. And we have to be willing to take it in. And as we study the Word of God, and again, after you study and that person confronts you, you may be correct. You may be right, and the other one's the one that has to correct his way of thinking. Or he may have just simply been mistaken on what he thought he had seen, he had heard. But again, until someone confronts one another and we're willing and able to talk things out, how is it ever going to be solved? Do we allow someone to just continue down the path of sin? What kind of attitudes do we have? In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1, Proverbs 12 and verse 1, it says, "Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid." Watch this, I can't say that one. You read scriptures, you can't stop. We hate instruction, hate being corrected. Again, sometimes it is no fun. It is no fun to hear that you're wrong. It is no fun to sit there and take a step back and to admit our faults. But as Christians, that's what we have to do in order to come to God. In order to have your sins forgiven, that's what you have to be willing to do. You have to be acknowledged that you have sinned and you need a Savior. Otherwise, what's the point? Being baptized for the remission of sins. You have sin that needs washed away. You've done wrong. You need forgiveness. And therefore, we're acknowledging that the Word of God is the truth and that He says that we have sinned, that this is sin, and that I need His forgiveness. Sometimes we need one another's help to get there. Proverbs 28. Proverbs chapter 28. And in verse 23. It says, "He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue." Be cautious of the one that's always sucking up to you. The one that's always got good news. King, we studied the Old Testament, right? King that has so many prophets coming, all prophesying that his battle is going to be wonderful. But don't bring that one prophet that always brings bad news. But when it's the truth, it's what matters the most. I have 100 people, I have everybody here tell me that I look good, but my wife tells me I don't. And that's the one I'm going to trust. Right? She's going to be honest. She ain't scared to hold it back. Comes the same thing to when it comes to sin, our faithfulness. It's not always just about sin. Maybe it's about stepping up and doing more. Someone trying to push you and encourage you to take that step. Get out of your comfort zone to continue to be zealous for good works. Sometimes we need to take a step back and say, am I confrontable? Do I have that character that people feel like they can approach me and talk with me? Because we need to be talked to every now and then. We need to be approachable. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. If you're here and you need the prayers of the congregation, we've already referred to James earlier in the lesson that we are here to confess our trespasses to one another. And that's another way of approaching each other, is being able to rely and lean on one another. We hope that you have that faith in your brethren here at Westside, that you feel that you are comfortable enough to come forward and let us know what it is we can do for you to help you. Please let us know. And again, if you haven't been baptized, that you don't have to feel ashamed of the sin that is in your life now if you're willing to admit that you are ready to give yourself over to God. Because all that sin will be washed away and you'll come up a new person.
to become a child of God. So if we can assist you in any way, will you let it be known as we stand and sing?